God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." So the psalm emphasizes again how great God is, how we can look to him for protection. But it's also pretty clear that there are tough times. There are times of trouble and trial. So we're going to sing about those trials and the fact that God draws near in times of pain.
Let's pray together, shall we, as we come to God's word. Father, we come this morning hungry and thirsty, hungry for the food of your word to strengthen us, to give us what we need for today, for the week, and months ahead. We pray that by your Spirit you would refresh us, quench our thirst. Give us, Lord, not simply truths about you, but yourself. We pray that we would meet you in your word and you would do your work amongst us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we begin, let me ask you a question. I've got a quote. I want you to see if you can work out who said this. It's from the last sort of few months. The quote is this: "Can we be so sure that peace and stability on our continent are assured beyond any shadow of a doubt?"
Donald Trump.
Wasn't Donald Trump. It's interesting. It's the right area. It was David Cameron. Just prior to the Brexit vote, interestingly, we said Donald Trump. What links the two is fear, isn't it? So much of politics, so much of the news, so much of the campaigning is fear. Fear is driving so much in the world at the moment. I don't know if, like me, you read the papers and sadden, sickened sometimes by what we see. And this quote, I just thought, I mean, it could have been Cameron, it could have been a number of people. It encapsulates the mood at the moment. Can we be so sure that peace and stability, they're the things we want, peace and stability, are assured beyond any shadow of a doubt? Of course, David Cameron was speaking to the Leave campaign, saying, if we leave Europe, can you assure these things? I guess the Leave campaign would equally be saying to Cameron, can you be sure? Thank you. Can you assure these things, peace and stability? Donald Trump, things in America, it's the same. We're in uncertain times, and this is a psalm for an uncertain future. Certainly in my lifetime, I don't think there's been a period of time when the future has looked so scary, uncertain. Sort of what seemed to be the scary events in the world, living in living in England, things were often at a bit of a difference, a bit of a distance. Not that they didn't matter, but often it was somewhere else in the world that things were happening, and suddenly we're being brought home that it's here, it's on our front doorstep, it's a reality perhaps. What do the next 5, 10 years hold? Can we be so sure that peace and stability will remain in this country? Where will Britain be in 10 years' time? And so I thought this psalm, though chosen many months ago, actually is a perfect time for this season of, you know, you open the papers and dread what you'll read. The Olympics were quite a necessary distraction, I think, in many ways, because the news headlines had just been atrocity after atrocity. And of course, that continued. But for a while, we sort of forgot about it all and enjoyed the sport and enjoyed much that was good, and the Paralympics as well. But actually, when we look to the future, there is much that's uncertain. And I think that's when we need these words more than ever. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. The psalmist was facing an uncertain future, but clung on to these truths. God is our refuge and our strength. Have a read with me and just picture the scene. It's an incredibly visual psalm. I think not just so we have truths for the mind, though there are those, but a picture that captivates our hearts. So when what is around, what we read in the papers is so, I mean, it's just images, isn't it? The image of recent weeks, I mean, just that poor little boy, the boy in the ambulance, as he'd been come to know in Aleppo, as he'd been hurt and bruised. What was he, 4 years old, I think? Hurt in the bomb that had killed some of his family, just sat there, bleeding and bruised and just utterly bewildered. And that was the image that went across the world, and images are powerful. And when faced with that, the psalmist, the Lord, through the psalmist, gives us other images that we can cling on to. Not interesting, this psalm is a wonderfully real psalm. It doesn't say those things don't matter. It doesn't say those things aren't true. It says, yes, this is the world we live in. But there are truths to cling on to within that. Have a look down, verse 2. The psalmist says, therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. Just picture the scene. It's a sort of world-ending earthquake-type scene. It's incredibly visual. And these mountains falling into the heart of the sea. The mountains, the picture of stability. People come and go. Ideas come and go. Nations come and go. The mountains remain, don't they? They're stable. They're permanent. Yet, the psalmist is saying, the mountains themselves are falling. I think an image of everything the psalmist thought could be relied on. Everything the psalmist thought, well, at least that will never change. Everything the psalmist thought, at least that can be my sure foundation, my place of stability. That too is gone. Though the waters roar and foam, mountains fall into the heart of the sea. The waters, for the Jewish people of the day, not a seafaring people, a people for whom waters were a symbol of chaos, actually a symbol of darkness, of evil, of all that threatens God's people. Mountains falling, all you could rely on is falling away, and all you most fear, the uncontrollable, scary things of life, those are beginning to happen. That's the situation the psalmist's in. This isn't a psalmist who's sort of sitting closeted away in a kind of a beautiful monastery garden, singing hymns to God, blissfully unaware of the world outside. No, this is a psalmist who's in touch with reality and says, you know what? Reality is a scary place. But we will not fear, because God is our refuge and our strength. In the midst of this world upheaval, this turmoil, there's just this picture of this fortress, this citadel. Imagine these great big rock walls. Even when everything around is is surging, is quaking. Perhaps we've got a picture of, you know, invading armies coming through, yet there is a place of refuge. A place of refuge and strength. God, our fortress. Psalmist says everything else may change, but this remains. God remains. I know a few people here, not many in truth. I don't know what, as a church, you're facing. I don't know what individuals may be facing in this church. Perhaps there are some here for whom mountains in your life are crumbling. Things that were stability for you, things you could rely on, things that you built your life rightly around. These are good things, some of these mountains, but they are falling away. And suddenly the future looks uncertain. I remember when I was a student and my dad died. One of the most surprising things to me was how much I began to fear the future. Alongside the grief and all the things, in one sense, I expected, but I feared the future. And I came to understand, I think because my dad had been one of these mountains for me. Someone, I would go to the future and he was always there at the end of the phone and was always on my side and someone you could go to for advice, someone help you out. And actually, there was a lot of stability. And with him gone, suddenly I felt alone walking into the future. And we all know things in our lives that have been a great and good source of stability, but you know what? Sometimes they crumble. And we need in those times to know that God actually is the most stable, the most reliable thing we need. Not that it doesn't hurt, not that it's not heartbreaking at times to lose these other things, but we do have a place within which we can be safe and we will not be overwhelmed and we will not be swept away. God is our refuge and our strength. Might be sitting here just looking into the Christian faith, perhaps whether a regular at this church, perhaps just visiting, perhaps you're trying to work out what you make of the Christian faith. Well, let me encourage you to look in on this picture of, in one sense, what the Christian life is like. It'd be very nice for me to stand up and say, if you're not a Christian here today, let me tell you, following Jesus is easy every day. No problems, no struggles. Actually, become a Christian and life, all your issues will be gone. That is not the biblical picture. The biblical picture is that mountains still fall, waters still rise. The biblical picture is, though, Christians have a place of stability which keeps them safe amidst all of this. Christians can read the news. I still read the news just like anyone else does. I still read about the rise of ISIS, about massacres in Orlando. I still see poor refugees drowned as they try and escape to a place of safety. But as Christians, we do so from a place of security. God is our refuge. Let me say, if you're investigating the Christian faith, come and look into the claims of Jesus. Not for easy answers, but let me ask, do you have a place of stability and security like this? Because don't we all need one in an uncertain world? God is our refuge. Moving on to the next scene, really, of the psalm, verses 4 to 7. The camera shift, as it were, from the wide-angle lens encompassing all the world and the mountains and the oceans and then this citadel. And then the camera pans to inside. We say, what's it like within this refuge, within this fortress? And we get this picture, verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. There's a river. At one level, this psalm is using the language of Jerusalem, the language of that city where God's people had as their refuge, their safe place in Israel. But has anyone here been to Jerusalem, done a Holy Land tour? Must be a few hands gone up. Did anyone take a boat on the river? No? Because there is no river in Jerusalem. And we start to see this psalm is not so much speaking about that physical city, though it uses some of that language, but pointing to greater spiritual realities of dwelling with God. actually, if we dwell with God, there is a river within the city. If your city was surrounded, if you were attacked, if you were under siege, you needed a river. Otherwise, you wouldn't last long. The enemies outside might not get you, but you'd starve. No food. But with a river, with provision inside, you could withstand the attacks of the enemies outside. What do you need to survive a siege? You need strong walls, and you need provision inside. That's the picture here. There's strong walls without, but within God's city, if we're part of the people of God, there is this provision, there's this river whose streams make glad the city of God. It's actually the picture of the whole Bible. We see this river imagery right from the Garden of Eden with the river flowing out from the garden. The New Jerusalem, the end of Scripture, we see there's this river flowing from beneath the throne of God. Either side of the river grows the tree of life, whose leaves are for the healing of the nations, this picture of provision. And of course, Jesus, using the same imagery, he met that woman at the well, do you remember? She'd had how many husbands? Still not satisfied, still thirsty. And Jesus said to her, drink the water I give you, you'll never thirst again. You will have provision, you'll have the satisfaction you've been looking for in the wrong places. And later in John 7, we learned by that he was speaking of the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit within us, that means we have provision like that. Just, I don't know when the most thirsty you've ever been is. Maybe you spent some time in a hot country once and you were in a long car journey and there's no water and you're just desperate and you just began to feel genuine thirst. I guess most of us here have never had that real thirst when we've gone days without water. But just when you first had that drink and just that life-giving, invigorating water, that's the picture here. God's Spirit is that within us, making glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. If we're Christians, we're in a scary world, but there's walls surrounding us and God's Spirit giving life within so we can face the realities of life. And then verse 6, come and peek over the battlements with me, if you would. Look outside, what do we see? Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. The Lord lifts his voice and the earth melts. It's amazing, in such a almost violent psalm, with mountains falling, seas rising, what is most decisive in events that happen, it's actually God speaks, he lifts his voice. The earth melts. Most decisive in the events of the sun, most decisive in world history is God's voice. God speaks. No surprise if we think, how was the world created? God said, let there be light, and there was light. The same word by which he spoke creation into being is the word by which he governs all of history. And what a comfort that is for God's people when God says, I will build my church. Those are not just empty words. Those are words that direct history. God says, if you're my child, I will never let anyone snatch you from my hand. Not mere words, powerful, strong words. God speaks, nations fall. We look and see the rise of ISIS, and we think, how would you even begin to stop? You know, politicians will say, well, we'll just bomb them more, and we're just aware it's so much more complex than that. How can you stop an ideology? How do you even begin politically to engage? Don't get me wrong. I praise God for good politicians who do seek to work for peace in the world. But actually, God speaks and empires are overthrown. Famously, Stalin in the Second World War was wreaking his havoc. But one day, I think one of his advisors said to him, look, I think you need to be careful. The Pope is incredibly critical of what you're doing and the way you're treating Christians. And Stalin apparently said, the Pope, how many tank divisions does he have? The Pope, mere words. Christians, what have they got? I've got the biggest army. But that army, that empire, gone. God speaks. And actually, what a privilege if we're Christians. When we speak of Christ, we speak that same powerful word. When we speak, and perhaps, maybe it's just at the workplace, a colleague says, look, you seem to approach life in a different way. Tell me how you can have hope for the future. Tell me why you live the way you do. and we begin to speak of Christ, am I the only one that at that point feels so weak and pathetic? I was in the barbershop the other day. The guy says, so what do you do for a living? I'm a church minister. All right. Why is that then? I said, because I believe that what Jesus said in the Bible is true, and I'd love more people to hear about it. How did I feel as I said it? Weak, pathetic. These are just words. But God lifts his voice. Earth melts. These are the words that actually God is using to change history. Just think about that. What has been most decisive in world history to up till now? Empires have come and gone. But God's word has transformed the world. Was it a third of the world now in 2,000 years have come to know Christ? Utterly decisive and determinative of so much of world history. Historians will try and write world history without mentioning Jesus, but it doesn't really seem to work because God's word is decisive. And we need to know that when faced with an uncertain future. And we come to then verse 7, the chorus of the psalm. It comes a couple of times, the chorus there, verse 7. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. The Lord Almighty is with us. All this picture of this city, this picture of the fortress, it all comes down to this truth. God with us. That is our hope if we're Christians. God is with us and he is mighty. That is the story of the Bible. God with us. God made a world to dwell with his people. What did his people do? Adam and Eve. They said, God, we want your stuff, but we don't want you. They were cast out of the garden, but God, in all reasonableness, should have just said, right, I'm just going to abandon them. No more. But says, no, I'm going to be with my people. I'm going to dwell with them. The story of the Bible is God wanting to be with his people, even dying to be with his people. And so the promise is God with us. The Lord Almighty, or depending on the translation you've got, sometimes the Lord of hosts. It's an army image. Hosts mean warriors. The Lord of angel armies, we might put it. I was listening to one preacher on this psalm a while back, and he said, picture the God of angel armies. And whatever picture you've got in your mind, it will be a million times too small. You cannot overestimate how powerful the Lord is. And he is the God who says, I am with you if you're my people. Utterly powerful, but close and near and tender as well. That is our hope if we're Christians. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And we come to the final image of the psalm. As we move to the last few verses, we've seen these walls of protection. We've seen the provision within the city. And then it's as if we're come and see the future. Come and see how this all ends. This come and see what the Lord has done. Often the prophets use that phrase, come and see, to speak of future times. And I think we're taken to the end of the battle now. We're given a glimpse of where it's all going. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he's brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. All wars ended. This is peace, finally. Not because God has got all the parties together and they've spent weeks discussing and negotiating a settlement that will be agreeable to all. No, the Lord has just ended war. He has defeated evil. The instruments of war, spear and bow and chariots, burned and destroyed. The Lord will intervene fully and finally to defeat evil. And that is a great hope for this world. That is the great hope for this world. That's where history is going. Never again will we open the paper and read of a massacre in a nightclub. Never again will we read of the paper and see photos of children washed up on beaches. Never again will we open the paper and see that the wicked and the powerful are exploiting the weak for their own ends. Because God will judge and every injustice will be put to right. No human power can promise that. No human system. Again, hear me rightly. We should pray for those in leadership over us. We should rejoice in those who labor for our good and for the, by and large, the peace we do enjoy in this society. But no human system can ever guarantee that. What did David Cameron say? Can we be so sure that peace and stability are assured beyond any shadow of a doubt? No, we can't. And no human kingdom, no human power can promise that. Only Jesus Christ can promise that. He will return. He will judge with justice. And so the call is, be still and know that I'm God. I think that's not necessarily just the gentle be still and know I'm God. I think it might be spoken to the world. Now, world, be still. Stop warring. Lay down your arms now. Because one day I will come. One day I will overpower every enemy. So now, lay down your arms and make peace. You see, I've been speaking about evil out there, and there is much evil in the world outside. But of course, I guess most of us know that the same seeds of evil are in our own hearts. None of us are pure in every respect. And so for God to judge with justice is a wonderful truth, but a sobering and scary one, because actually, I deserve to be judged by God. Yes, I haven't done some of the things we see in the world around, but nonetheless, I've opposed God in ways. I've not always used the good gifts of his creation for his glory and for the good of others. I've used them selfishly or to hurt others. And I need to face up to the fact that God will one day judge justly. And if you read these verses, it's a sobering prospect. There will be no hiding on that day. There will be no escape. Every single person who has ever lived will stand before the throne of God and give an account for their actions. And actually, all of us, if we stood on our own merits, we would be condemned with God's enemies. But God is a refuge for his people. There is a place of safety through Jesus Christ dying on the cross. If we're Christians here today, we've got to keep this reality in view. When I forget that, suddenly the thought of telling my friends and my family members who don't know Jesus, suddenly that just goes down the priority list. I think that's just embarrassing. It might be hard work. I'll just leave it. I won't tell them. But when I remember this is where history is going, I think I must speak out. If I love them, I must tell them a day is coming when Christ will judge with justice. And as I said, it might be there's some here today who are looking into the Christian faith. Let me be very serious with you. A day is coming when all of us will stand before the Lord. Wonderfully, there is a window of opportunity. He says, come to me now. Make peace. Find forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ, taking this punishment that we deserve. On that day, if we wait till then, it will be too late. History is going somewhere. Come and see, the psalmist says. This is where it's going. Now live now in the light of that. Live in the light of where history is certainly going. Turn to God. Come to him as refuge. The chorus again. The Lord Almighty is with us. If we've come to Christ. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So as we close, how might this affect day-to-day life for us? What does it mean for us? Well, as you open the papers, as you go online, as you read the news, let me encourage you to not put your hope in any human system or power. No politician, no kingdom, no ideology can ever guarantee that peace and stability that we all long for. No human politician or kingdom or ideology can ever be our savior. But when we face the realities of life, do not fear, because if we're Christians, we have a refuge. Yes, mountains fall, waters surge, and rise. And that will happen for us at different times in our lives. But just now, remember that place of safety. American Christian friends of mine have a phrase that doesn't have a sort of equivalent over here, but they often say, live in the good of that. Which is sort of, let's live as if these things are true. So let's live enjoying all the blessings of these things being true. And I think let's live in the good of this. God is our refuge and fortress. If we forget that, life becomes scary. Let's live in the good of that. Let's consciously try to remember that when we open the papers, when we read the news. Let's pray as well. Couldn't we pray, Lord, break the bow, Shatter the spear, burn the shields with fire. Let these warring nations be still and know that you are God. Wouldn't that be a good prayer for ISIS? As we read the news, or the pretty bewildering political situation in America at the moment, with what's going on, we just say, Lord, just we don't want more wars. Break the bow, shatter the spear. Would all of these politicians, would they be still and know that you are God? That is a wonderful way to pray when we look at the news. Personally, if our mountains are crumbling, let's remember this refuge. Let's just fill our thoughts, fill our minds, fill our hearts with this picture. So when life is scary and the images crowd in, let's have this stronger, more powerful image that God is our refuge. We can have confidence in him. We won't be swept away. We have provision within. And as I said, if you're not Christian here this morning, let me ask you, where is your refuge? Where do you look for the trials of this life and ultimately for confidence on that final day when God judges with justice? Christian life doesn't promise all problems solved, but it does promise a refuge now and security and vindication on that final day. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let me pray as we close. Lord, we look at the world and see so much that is frightening, so much that is distressing. Lord, we give you great praise that you are with us and our fortress. Lord, we face times so often when mountains, things that in our lives made us secure, when they crumble, Lord, please help us to remember that you are with us and you are our fortress. And Lord, we do pray that you would continue to work your purposes out in the world. Would your gospel go out into the world? Please embolden us to speak for Christ, knowing that actually people coming to know Christ is the only hope for this world. And Lord, we long for that final day when all injustice will be put right, when Christ will return and usher in his new and perfect kingdom. Please help us all to live more and more in light of that glorious day. In Jesus' name, amen.